Hey everyone, welcome to episode 62 of Forever Strength. If you listened to the last episode, you heard us bring one of our Forever Strength members on, Marianne Russell, and she was actually such a great guest. She was better than half of the coaches we've ever had on, and it was so cool. We want to continue with the series where we're actually going to bring on our members and our clients, real people as opposed to fake people, who are going through, you know, interesting things. We want to tell the stories, ask a lot of questions. So my friend, we've actually known each other for a while, Jalene Cartwright. You and I know each other from Evolve. You used to lift there. You're now in Calgary. And you're a firefighter and a primary care paramedic. And you've also competed in FireFit over the years too. So that's actually some pretty cool stuff. I know you've done a lot of Olympic lifting. So welcome to the show. Bailey and I are really excited to have you.
Thank you. Excited to be here. A little nervous, but excited.
As you should be. Bailey's very intimidating.
Yeah.
So Jalene, what got you into fitness?
I've wanted to be a firefighter since I was like 4 years old. So driving towards the idea of being a firefighter, knowing that I have to do the same physical fitness tests as men. When I was about 18 to 20, I started getting into the gym. Cardio, lifting, I had no idea what I was doing. Figured it out along the way, some different websites.
Yeah. That's awesome.
I'll attest to how strong Jalene is. You, like, it was always fun seeing you lift at Evolve. You're really strong. Yeah. So you and Bailey both really, really strong. Thank you.
I love being strong. It's great. Like, there's just something empowering about putting weight overhead or picking weight up off the floor and throwing it around.
That'll be the Olympic weightlifting.
Yeah.
So what sort of stuff did you have to practice for the FireFit?
So FireFit, they actually just finished their nationals. So there's a lot of that on YouTube. They show that on TSN. So FireFit is very time consuming to train. And for women, it's about a 2 to 4 minute race for competitive women. It's getting more competitive. Women broke another record this weekend. Katie Ross with Brampton, she went sub 150, I think 146, which is like unheard of. So it's, you're in your full bunker gear, so an extra 30 to 50 pounds of gear. You're on air. You start with picking up a 45 pound pack of hose, throw it on your shoulder, run up a bunch of stairs, hoist up rope with another 45 pound donut on the end down the stairs. There's a forcible entry simulation, an agility, and then you advance a hose, hit a target, and then backwards with a 175 pound dummy. And it's all, my best time was 2:21. So it's a lot of stuff.
Simulate what you do on the job. So then for the FireFit thing, that is like a competition that people asked all of their friends to become a FireFit.
So I've been to national competitions, I've been to international competitions, I've even traveled to Dubai twice to race, like Abu Dhabi and Dubai, all over the US. It's really cool because you meet competitors and you make friends all over the world. Some of my best friends were actually through FireFit. It's like the camaraderie that goes with it, because you're always trying to improve the sport and help each other improve your own time.
Yeah, that's awesome. So how does Olympic lifting sort of fit into all this stuff that you do for FireFit?
I started Olympic lifting kind of around the time I was phasing out of FireFit, but Olympic lifting really creates like the power and the drive. Like when you have to pick up a 175 pound dummy and you're 5'3", the dummy weighs more than you do. And just like having that lower body, upper body strength, core strength, drive up really helps.
And then for like programming and stuff like that, how does that stuff work together? Have you ever done both at the same time?
I did, and I actually also tried to Olympic lift while training for a marathon. That didn't work out. So There was a little bit of programming when I worked for the Fort McMurray Fire Department. We had another competitor that was also our coach, and he did a lot of CrossFit circuit training into our training for FireFit, and included some Olympic lifting in there. But I actually became interested in Olympic lifting. I don't know if you guys, am I allowed to name other athletes in the show?
Absolutely, of course.
I used to work at the same plant as Olympic lifting competitor Andrew Pretty. So he actually initially started teaching me, and then I moved down to Edmonton, started attending Evolve, where I met Kevin with OPF, and he is a phenomenal coach, phenomenal human being, very kind. I really appreciated his patience, very technical lifts. So the Olympic lifting kind of supported like the strength, I guess, that you would need for firefighting.
Yeah, not so much the marathon running though, eh?
So, I did try and balance both, and in the end I ended up having to drop lifting altogether. So one of the things that we talked or that you guys talked about last week was about how people are always trying to be smaller, and I'm guilty of that. I am somebody who is always striving to be smaller, but you know what's cooler than being smaller is being strong. So that's where the Olympic lifting really made me feel good, was the strength that came from it. But when I was training for the marathon, I dropped lifting altogether, and that's not the answer to losing weight. You need to strength train to lose weight. I just didn't have the time. I was running 2 to 4 hours a day. I don't have time to lift on top of that. And when I was trying to maintain both, my running wasn't improving and my lifting was declining. So it was time to give it up. I had another fantastic coach for that.
Were you at the time doing shift work as a medic?
Yes.
And so that's notorious for sleep issues. So I'm guessing that, because there are people who can thread the needle between doing power sports, strength sports, and endurance sports. Hybrid training. It literally is a thing. It's probably very difficult to be absolutely elite at both at the same time. But if you also have to have a pretty optimal recovery situation, sleep being a big part of that. I know also I've been coaching, doing the nutrition for a long time on and off client of mine for her wedding. And she's also now a medic and in fire as well. So similar role. And so she's an absolute weapon, crazy strong. But I know how difficult some of the nutrition can be when you're on shift at the fire hall.
Yeah. Well, and then it's when you're on night shifts, scheduling your run with your nutrition and having an empty tank nutrition wise doesn't help you for running. So you guys touched on dieting last week too. Again, guilty cereal dieter. I've done diets where I'm maintaining like a cycling calories, and my calories are 1100 to 1300. If you're lifting weights or running or doing any kind of fitness, that's not like conducive to weight loss, even, because your body goes into starvation mode. I've done some serious metabolism damage, and I'm trying to reverse that now. So only cardio doesn't work. My body changed for the worse, or for not for the positive. I mean, I lost all my muscle tone. I didn't lose any weight, and I was running hours a day. So I've actually had acquaintances, friends tell me, if you want to lose weight, you need to stop lifting weights. It doesn't work like that. You have to lift weight. You need the strength. And to kind of echo what Marianne was saying last week, like the bone health, like your overall, like diabetes, all the health components of lifting weights. But like the muscle tone, you burn more calories resting if you have muscle.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I just put up a post about that very fact. Mm-hmm. And it said something in a story. There is, quote, research that I find some fitness professionals will wave around that talks about how exercise isn't very effective for weight loss. And I'm like, I get what you're saying when it comes to the strict research-based what have you. But I actually find this message is a little pedantic, very misguided, because I actually think that resistance training, as you said, echo you, is a really critical foundation of maintaining metabolic rate long-term. I put up a post about this. Someone I respect was kind of going on with the research stuff. And I'm just like, I don't really think, like, I think there are people that really just think that this doesn't have a big effect. I will say this. When trainers say, hey, you got to build a little bit of muscle to, you know, 130, 140 pound woman, and she puts on 5 pounds of muscle, that does not make much of a difference to increase your metabolic capacity. It doesn't. But often it's not the extra 5 pounds of muscle versus the baseline. What's happening as we get older and as our population gets older, and for people who've engaged in repetitive diet behavior, they're losing muscle mass. So it's maintaining and building versus losing, which we know we lose metabolic capacity. So I just find that our industry sometimes gets a little hyper-technical when it comes to research. And it's like, I'm evidence-based. Like, I like to tease out what makes sense in a research, but it's practical implications. I think that resistance training, and we're not talking about doing it in the absence of nutrition. What have people been saying long before, like generations? It's like, you can't out-train a bad diet. We know that. We've been saying that for a really long time. We get that part. No one is saying, oh, you can exercise and forget your diet. But I really do think that exercise is actually a really critical component to long-term success.
Mm-hmm. With
getting leaner, losing weight, keeping it off, if that's your goal, and especially metabolic health, right? And I'll stand by that.
Definitely.
I agree. And also the function of the body at a cellular level, it works better when your body is moving and when mm-hmm. it has, you know, the aerobic, anaerobic capacity. And then, yeah, you said with aging, definitely makes a huge difference. So for all the stuff that you do with your Olympic lifting and then the Fire Fit as well, how does the Forever Strength program sort of fit into that and supplement the training that you already have?
So I've dropped FireFit two or three summers ago now. So I don't race FireFit anymore. Mostly, COVID had the break, right? So we weren't racing because of not being able to be in large groups. And then that's when I kind of started running doing the marathon training. So I dropped FireFit. And then I dropped Olympic lifting, and then I did the marathon. And then after the marathon, I joined a program that I really enjoyed, but I was overtraining and I was only lifting weights and not leaving myself enough time for cardio. And they were really long workouts. And something that I love about the Forever Strength program is, one, the flexibility. And then watching the episode last week, Marianne reminded me there's that sheet at the end that had all those alternative exercises. I had forgotten about that. I had completely forgotten about that. So I've been doing the same thing every week. And I was thinking, like, okay, like, I have the attention span of a goldfish. I'm like, how long can I stay entertained on doing the same thing every week? And then last week, watching the episode, Marianne mentioned the alternatives. It's like, that's right. So I'm doing the same thing now, but different, right? Like, different movements for the same muscles. And it's fantastic. So I'm going to overshare. So I haven't been as healthy as I could be. My health has taken a little bit of a decline. So I've had some time out of the gym. I reached out to Andrew a couple weeks into your Forever Strength program. You've already started it. So I'm 5-ish weeks behind everyone else. I needed a reset. It's a fantastic reset. It has, the Forever Strength program has videos, the instructional videos for people who don't know what a movement is, or I've even used the instructional videos. And I would say that I have a healthy understanding of fitness and exercises, but, and I've even had some questions of, why are we doing this movement this way as opposed to this way? And it's to make it user-friendly for everyone. So I really am really appreciating the flexibility in the Forever Strength program, getting me back on track. They're short enough that someone on a time crunch can get their workout in. But they're all like, I don't feel like I've missed out. Like, when I looked at the program initially, I was like, wow, that's really short. And I think I even asked in the Facebook group, about whether or not it was going to be enough for me, because I was worried about that because I generally spend a lot of time at the gym. But now I'm adding in my cardio again. I'm getting some steps in again. I appreciate that there's 4 days and then a fifth flexible day, because some weeks that I feel okay, I can try and play catch up. Other weeks that I don't feel okay, maybe I fall behind a little further. I may have forgotten the question.
No, that's okay.
I was going to throw something in that I think is worth teasing out. I wonder how people get stuck feeling like it's never enough, right? And I took from that that you got permission, maybe for the first time in a while, to do less and realize that your body felt good. Because that program is not lacking on load, intensity, difficulty. Because I week one and two, every time, like people are like, you know, oh, this is really easy. I'm like, hold on, just wait, right? The way that, because Bailey's the one who actually does the programming choices along the way based on our shared philosophy. And once you get up to the last few weeks, like shit gets rough. So, but again, it's something that I think people, a pretty normal person or a pretty advanced person, can train hard and recover from, because the advanced person is going to be starting from a greater skill level. They're probably going to be stronger, which means they're just going to adjust their load relative to the parameters of the program. So it's going to be really difficult for someone who's pretty new, but it's also going to be really difficult for someone who's pretty advanced.
Yeah, but not too difficult for someone that's new. So I have, I've recommended the program to a handful of ladies. Now, I don't know if anyone's sent out any requests to join. I know that you guys also did that free version, and I don't know how the free version compares to the Forever Strength program that we're doing now. But I have encouraged a handful of ladies to reach out. I've sent them the link. I do think as a base program, or you're looking for a reset, I think the Forever Strength programs are really good. A really good combination for that, or just to change things up even.
We're about to announce our next intake anyway, because the next one is starting within a couple of weeks. So if anybody's listening, love to have you. Say that again. Sorry.
I heard the next one's a booty builder.
Next one is going to be a bit more glute focused. So, yep. Bailey got more questions. She's the one who runs it.
So, I mean, I guess you kind of, this happened last time too. Marianne went through all of my questions before I even asked them. She just kept answering all the things, which is a good thing.
Marianne was a little more fluid than I am. She was a hard one to follow. I was nervous, still nervous, but
set a high bar, but no, you've been wonderful. So I'm sure we got some other things. You know what? Let me bring up the notes of the things that you shared in group, because I know there was a couple of things in there that I felt were really good. You mentioned the metabolic damage, the goal to be smarter, and the straight cardio didn't lose your body composition. You know what? Let's go back to that thing too, because let's challenge it even more. How many women actually believe that cardio is the only way to lose weight, right? Like, does that come up in conversations with people, you know, the friends, the women you're talking about this program with?
Definitely. So men and women both tell me I shouldn't lift weights. And then I try and politely tell them I enjoy it and my job requires me to be strong. One of my biggest fears at work is letting somebody down physically, because women are generally weighted differently for strength. Like all the magazines, the health magazines growing up, it's like cardio, 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 diet, diet, diet. That's not the answer. And unfortunately for my generation of men and women, it's ingrained into us that women aren't supposed to lift weights. And you know, we're changing that, and it's great. CrossFit has helped change that, actually, I think as well. A couple of weeks ago, a couple of months ago, I actually think I sent you a message. I was in the gym at work, and it's a fairly busy gym, but the only people that were lifting weights were women, and the only people doing cardio were men. And I just took a minute to like appreciate that the stigma is changing. And you know, the posts that you've posted about, like, families getting kids into the gym, women getting their daughters into the gym. I think those are all really important messages. Food's another important message. So it's really cool that you've taken on the nutrition portion of it. Because it is a fine line of, like, don't eat enough, eat too much, right? But you can't get leaner if you're not eating the right amount of food and lifting the right amount of weights. Even if you're not ready to hit weights yet, just like air squats and lunges. I know attending a gym is pretty intimidating, even, you know, changing cities and trying to find a new gym, finding an atmosphere that you're comfortable in. Sometimes it takes a couple gyms before you find it.
There's something, yeah. I've said this before. I don't know if I've said it on the podcast, but you're reminding me of it. I've been going into commercial gym environments for over 20 years. I've worked in them for 13. And I've noticed a massive difference in the exercise selection, the skill, the execution of what goes on in a gym compared mm-hmm. to 20 years ago or even 10 yeah. years ago. But then I pause and I go, okay, the old guys are still doing the same shit that old guys do. Some of them know what they're doing, but a lot of it's a little funky. And I'm not judging and I'm not shaming. And young guys, for the most part, are also still doing mostly the same shit young guys have always done. And what's changed is the women. And there are way more older women. And there are way, way, way more younger women. And the older women, what I've noticed is they know what they're doing. But the young women especially, I'm watching them do really, really well executed strength and conditioning stuff. They, on average, have way better form than I've ever seen. And they're not doing it reading old T Nation stuff. Funny note, by the way, I doubt anybody listening would know this one, but a while back, I posted a video for one of my T Nation articles. This goes back probably 3+ years. Jalene was in the background on a treadmill in your Fire Fit uniform, which had some pink on it, which caught some people's attention. And everybody commented on the videos on Facebook, especially about the firefighter instead of me doing Bulgarian split squats in this video. So if anybody wants that, I'll have to dig out that article, and it's up literally on T Nation and their YouTube. But these young women, they're not reading T Nation.
No.
Right? They're getting it from social media. And as much rubbish as we get on social media, we know it. Honestly, there's a lot of people doing a lot of really smart stuff on it. And I tend to still try to look at the positives. For all the crying our industry does about, like, the stupid shit on social media, guess what? You're never going to make it go away. So why not actually be part of the solution and share better stuff? So, but I'm impressed with what I'm seeing. And I'm seeing way more women of all ages embracing it, feeling comfortable in the gyms. And here's a big one. Feeling confident and taking up space in the free weight section, which is something that not all women feel comfortable with and less have done it in the past.
It is intimidating too. As I've been gym shopping here, I've gone to a couple gyms, and there's been a couple gyms where I was highly uncomfortable. Like, I don't know if it's she shouldn't be lifting weights, or why is she lifting that much weight, or she's in our way. but it is intimidating, especially in new environments. But yeah, like you said, just take up space, right?
Absolutely. I find it funny when I hear stories. My ex-girlfriend, she would tell me this stuff all the time. She's really strong. And so she'd be lifting over at LA Fitness, and there'd be guys, you know, like little guys, and they would just, like, look at her, look at what she's lifting. They'd look what they're lifting. They would just leave. They would just leave the area. They couldn't even handle standing next to her with how strong she is. So
when I was Olympic lifting, one lift that I'm really proud of, my strongest lift was always besides my squat, my strongest lift was always my jerk. So shoulder to overhead, my split jerk. And I was in a camp at work, and I was jerking 200 pounds, and I was stoked. But like, I had somebody come over to me and be like, should you really be lifting that much weight? Like, is that safe?
This is coming from me. I there are different dynamics with this sort of thing, so not every woman can or should probably do this, but I would look at them and go, fuck you. But no, I don't think that's the most tactful answer, and quite frankly, no. not all women would be wise to even do that. You never know what kind of situation you put yourself in. Complicated stuff. However, yeah. my thinking is like, fuck you. Like, there's no place for that attitude.
See, this is where the RBF comes in handy.
Yeah, that's why I have that face when I'm in the gym, headphones in, head down. I don't make eye contact with people. Like, yeah, maybe I look like I'm not friendly, but if somebody talks to me, I do talk back and I'm polite. There was another incident in the same gym that I was at. These two guys took my 45 plates. Like, I was actively using them. And I said, hey guys, I'm still using those. They completely ignored me. To the point where, and I'm a little embarrassed, I walked over to the Smith machine that they took these bumper plates and put them on. I pulled the bumper plates off and I like threw them down onto the platform that I was using. And I said I was using those. That's the most aggressive I've ever been, but I said I was using them.
Justified. And quite frankly, I hope that those two guys woke up and they realized they'd really screwed up. And that was thoughtless. So good. No, I'm actually proud of that. I think that's awesome.
I may have apologized later for being rude, but
they were rude first.
I don't think you had any reason to apologize, but I think it was also the gracious thing to do, so that's cool. This has been awesome. I really appreciate that you came on. I appreciate the fact that despite feeling nervous, you felt comfortable sharing some stuff. That it's especially important because I think there's a lot of women, a lot of people who feel that they're very alone in how they felt about some of the things that you talked about. And so hopefully you sharing this stuff makes more people feel comfortable about discussing it.
Yeah.
Stepping into an environment like a gym to do something about it. Talk to someone who's got some expertise in that realm. So obviously, you know, anyone listening, more than welcome to reach out to me or Bailey at any point. If you just even have questions, it's not about selling our program. We're proud of our program. It's great. But this is about just like, hey, we're here to help people answer questions too. But if you have someone in your world who's really great, like reach out to them, let them know what's going on with you. Because obviously it's very clear that you consistently have tried to do things to, you know, better your situation, whatever you were going through, right?
There's still a lot of stigma. Like, I still feel stigma and get nervous sometimes. But everyone's at the gym to improve themselves. So I know a lot of people are worried, like, oh, they're looking at me. Most times people are so focused on what they're doing and they feel the same way. But also, if anyone would like a gym buddy ever, or like a first time intro to the gym, like, I'm always available and around. I've offered that to a lot of my friends, but if you're watching this video and you're around and you just want to maybe have a buddy to try your first gym, like, reach out. I'm also open to conversation about the calories and the lack of lifting. If you leave a comment, I'm happy to answer.
Wonderful. Again, we just really appreciate this. Thank you for taking the time to come on. You've been an incredible guest. You held your own even compared to how just engaging and wonderful Marianne was. She was super cool, but you've been just as great. So thank you. Everybody listening, we're going to continue to try to bring on guests like Jalene and Marianne. This is fun. If you are one of our current or former members and you thought this was cool, you have a story to share, we would actually like to talk to you too, please. Okay. And for everybody else, we will be back, hopefully, if everything goes according to plan, next week with a new guest. Thank you, guys.